Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Stories about self-driving cars get one to wondering, is this really for me? What if I prefer that old-world sense of control one gets from actually steering, braking, turning turn signals, and so on? Well, Detroit reporter Carol Kane squared off with those fears last week when she took her maiden voyage in a self-driving Chrysler 300 in suburban Detroit. Her story with the headline, "Self-driving seems great until you get in the car," appeared in last Sunday's Detroit Free Press. This morning, I spoke with Carol Kane about the experience and about how nervous she was when her ride started.
Well, I'll tell you, we have been working on a special called Giving Up the Wheel, a look at our autonomous feature, a 30-minute special for CBS, and had the opportunity to drive in a Chrysler 300 thanks to Continental, the German tire maker out in Auburn Hills, which offered to give us a ride. So I have to admit, I like being behind the wheel. I don't like automated features. So I was really nervous. In fact, when we started driving, we had our CBS van ahead of us taping it. They were videotaping us. I actually just stopped talking, was watching. I was kind of awestruck by the moment. And my camera guy reached back and started, you know, motioning, keep talking, because I just was watching it. But, and I think this is the way most people feel. In fact, in my show, and also I wrote about it in Sunday's Detroit Free Press, AAA did a survey of its members and found 75% were downright fearful about riding in an autonomous vehicle. And so I raised my hand, and I'm squarely in the middle of that 75%. But here's the headline. When I drove in it, it really was mostly uneventful. Nothing major happened. I was concerned that what should happen if something go awry or the self-control device do something crazy. But right now, what's going on in Michigan and across the country right now, as far as autonomous vehicles, there has to be an engineer behind the wheel at all times. In other words, you won't just have a vehicle on its own doing things, at least not on highways and so forth. So we drove on I-75. I drove with an engineer from Continental. They took us out, and then they put the self-drive device on once we got onto the highway. So we drove along, and we were in the middle lane, and everything was going fine. Then the engineer announced, we're going to do a passing lane feature. So we hit another button, which the car navigated on its own. It kind of sped up. It sensed traffic coming. It waited. It moved over. It sped up.
Oh, my.
And then it came back over. So it did everything he asked it to do, but I have to admit, it was a 15-minute ride. My blood pressure went back down once we pulled up in front of their headquarters, and we were safely back there. But it's an experience everybody who drives is likely going to have to go through sometime down the road.
One of the people you interviewed, as you said a minute ago, one of the people you interviewed for your story claims that 3 out of 4 drivers reported feeling afraid to ride in a self-driving car. Did the other people you spoke with for your story, did they explain how they're going to overcome that?
Well, here's how they're going to overcome that. This is the self-driving mechanisms are slowly the technology that's adaptive technology that's going to be the benchmark and the hallmark of these autonomous vehicles is slowly finding its way into our cars right now. Cruise control, lane guidance, parking assistance, airbags. These are all the same sort of technologies that are going to have the car ready for autonomous features. So it's going to happen in stages. Right now there's 5 stages of autonomous vehicles, 5 being totally self-driving, no human interaction needed. Most people say we're at least 5 years, some people say 20 years from having those kinds of vehicles. And everybody I talked to had a different time frame. Some are more aggressive about, well, it's only 5 years away. Right now, we are at level 2 and 3, where there's always an engineer behind the wheel. And in fact, last week, the governor signed legislation that allows driving of autonomous vehicles, and it's much more liberal, again, to help make Michigan the autonomous capital of the world. But it's going to happen in stages. So what will happen is right now we have technologies that are becoming more autonomous, if you will. Then we'll have vehicles where you'll have the choice. You can hit, I want to go autonomous. Let's say you're stuck in rush hour traffic. Hit the autonomous button, and it takes you on through that. And when you feel like driving, you hit it off. And then we'll get to the point where there will be fully autonomous vehicles. And the reason what's really driving this whole thing, Mark, it's all about safety. Anywhere from 90 to 95% of all auto accidents, it's human error. So you take the human out of the driver's seat and control, and you're going to greatly reduce accidents and number of people killed and maimed and injuries every year. So everybody I talked to, even those who are working on the technology, told me they like having the option of going back and forth. And I think that's what we'll see in upcoming years. I don't think we're going to see totally self-driving, totally autonomous. I think it's going to be more than 5 years. But, you know, Tesla and others, there's a bunch of folks who are getting in this in a big-time way.
Carol Kane reports for CBS Detroit. Her work also appears in the Detroit Free Press. We're talking about her recent ride in a self-driving Chrysler 300 in suburban Detroit and about the growth of the mobility industry here in Michigan. If there's hesitance among the public, industry insiders and elected officials don't seem to share it. Many state leaders are intent on making Michigan the autonomous vehicle capital. What kinds of comments did you get from people in Michigan's automobile industry or the so-called mobility industry?
Everybody is bullish on this. They're saying, everybody I talk to, from your political leaders like Gary Peters and Governor Snyder, and even people like Mary Barra and Bill Ford, others, in fact, Mary Barra said, we're going to see more change and more movement in the auto industry in the next 5 years than we've seen in the last 50 years combined. The technology, and that's the other thing, with safety concerns and the autonomous drive making the world a safer place on the roadways, there's also going to be more things behind the wheel. You're going to see many more people involved in this. So you have technology changes at the auto companies. You have changes in communities. I talked with various local leaders about gearing up and having the technology that supports it. So I think there's just so much change going on right now, and Michigan's perfectly positioned to be the automotive care, the autonomous capital. We're already the automotive capital, but to be the autonomous capital, too. And University of Michigan opened up M City, which is a 16-acre mock city, if you will. It's designed to allow for the testing of self-driving autonomous vehicles in conditions that you'd have on roads. And interesting, last year, there was so little snow last year. When it snowed in November, Ford, which is testing its autonomous Ford Fusion, came dashing over with its Ford Fusions to have it drive on roadways in M City because that's just one of the many concerns with autonomous. It's difficult to read lane patterns when it's covered up with 12 inches of snow. So that's something that in Michigan certainly has got to be answered. We are the winter wonderland, right?
That's right. M City, just north of Ann Arbor. Remind our listeners about another development here. Tell us about the American Center for Mobility. What's that about?
That actually, it's almost history repeating itself. It's called the American Center for Mobility. It's at the old Willow Run factory in Ypsilanti, where they built bombers that helped save the war in World War II. Rosie the Riveter got its birth there, and it's anyway, the factory's torn down. GM sold it as out of the bankruptcy from the 2008-2009, and a nonprofit bought it. The state is now running it and has tons of support from the automotive community and other community organizations as well. What's going to happen is it's 335 acres, more than that. They're going to build, they've got all kinds of infrastructure that with highways, entryways, all these things there. They're going to have a high-speed test facility for autonomous vehicles and other testing-type things. Because even things like when you go in the city or you go on the highway, the lane markers are different, the curb height is different, and it's fascinating what's going to be developing there. So I know there was a huge groundbreaking for that a couple weeks ago in Ypsilanti. The governor was there, Senator Stabenow, Congresswoman Dingell, just a bunch of people out there involved with this. And the point was that this is hopefully going to be one of the markers that sets the stage for Michigan to become the autonomous capital of the future.
Carol Kane reports for CBS Detroit. Her work also appears in the Detroit Free Press. We've been talking about her recent ride in a self-driving Chrysler 300 in suburban Detroit and about the growth of the mobility industry here in Michigan. Carol, many thanks.
Thanks so much, Mark. Listen, have a great day.